This is Beers Barroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and you are about to hear part three of our Draft Week special. No worries if you haven't heard the other two parts. This can stand alone. Earlier in the week, the crew got together and we got into a talk-a-thon, over 3 hours of football talk. So in this final hour, we are dedicating it mostly to a discussion about whether the Bears should draft a quarterback tonight in round one. So on the panel is Shane Marsaw of BearsBarroom.com, Jose Cotto of BearsBarroom.com, and Phil Atoshin of BearsHourLive.com. Let's get straight into the discussion.
I heard... Can we jump in here and just
please,
Aldo? Let me ask you at that point. What number in the draft are you? So you're a Patrick Mahomes guy. Mm-hmm. Would you draft Patrick Mahomes at number? Say if we traded down, Buffalo calls us when we're on the clock and they want Trubisky. So we said, you know, we work out a deal with Buffalo and we trade down to number 10. Would you draft Patrick Mahomes at number 10?
Yes, now that depends on who else is on the board, of course. So if Jamal Adams is still on the board, then I don't draft Mahomes. I draft Jamal Adams because he's number one overall on my board behind Myles Garrett.
So if Jamal Adams was off the board, would you draft Patrick Mahomes at number 10?
Let me see. I probably, is Lattimore on the board? Is Malik Hooker on the board? Because I would draft all those guys before a quarterback.
Does the Bears need a corner? Do the Bears need a corner?
Yes.
They have about 40 on the roster right
now. But they don't have a number one lockdown cornerback. And if you draft Marshawn Lattimore.
In a deep corner class of talent.
I realize that, but once you get past that tier one cornerbacks, which on my board, there's only one cornerback who is a tier one cornerback, and that's Marshawn Lattimore. After that, it's all tier two guys. So,
but here's my point, Aldo. You're gonna be at three again next year. Okay, so getting a corner to me is obsolete right here. I don't give a shit about Lattimore, and it's no offense to anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about winning, and I think the point is you should never want to be at three. So if you have your, and I think Shane is playing a game with you, I'm going to cut to the chase. If your guy is Mahomes, then have the fucking balls to take him at three and say, you know what? We're rolling with you as our future. And that, to me, is how this bullshit-ass franchise that we know right now changes. It's the only way. And I know you don't win by not taking chances. You got to take a chance. You got to define who that person is. If it's Trubisky, who's my fourth-ranked quarterback, I'm going to support that kid. I'm going to believe that Ryan Pace and company have done their work and they know more about this football player.
So
I will go along with that, but it's got to be a quarterback. I don't understand any other position there. I love Solomon Thomas. I love Hooker.
Phil, I agree with you that you've got to take a chance, but the way I would take a chance in this particular draft, 2017, is I would take a chance in trading back into the first round. If you can't trade down and pick up multiple picks, I would try to trade back into the first round to get that fifth pick from the Titans, get that 12th pick from the Browns and so forth, and pick one of those top four quarterbacks. And in my mind, you know, Mahomes is number one.
Go ahead. You're willing to, and I mean, to go up to number five or back up to number 12 from 36, you're going to be investing your 2018 first rounder. Are you willing to do that?
I would. I would do it reluctantly because I know that next year's class of quarterbacks is supposedly going to be a strong one, just like this one was projected to be a strong one, and now people are kind of 50-50 on it. You know what I'm saying?
So can I say one point
off
of that?
Please, just jump in.
Sorry. I'll shut up now.
No, it's all right.
Jared Goff was the narrative number one quarterback. He's the best. I had him not in my top 50. I just looked at that football player, and we could disagree forever. He still has this year to prove me wrong, what have you. But that was the narrative. And Carson Wentz was a small school. So this narrative is going to be that this class stinks. And there's no quarterback, and no further. But really, ultimately, and I think Emery Hunt, who was on the show with us, said it best, too. It's like, you got to draft the most important position in all of sports. If you want it to change, you've not been there since Jim McMahon. So take your guy, the best one you think, because you're already said that Glennon's your starter. And then draft in the second round your best available player or your needs. But that, to me, it's going to be a loss, because if those guys behind you, Jets, whoever, the Bills, all these teams that need quarterbacks, San Francisco, Cleveland could get a quarterback at 12 and skip, and they end up becoming franchise football players, the likes of Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Cutler, whoever you want to throw in there, Eli Manning, that kind of class, and you missed out, and next year you're waiting on next year, that happens oh so many times. I hear it every year. Next year's class is great.
Here's my rebut to that is when you say, you know, Goff, when you bring up Goff, that to me is like saying, Lovie Smith drafting Jameis Winston. Well, at least Tampa Bay knew enough that they had to fire Lovie Smith, a good defensive coach, just like the Rams finally learned that they had to fire Jeff Fisher in order to develop this quarterback. When you're going to draft a quarterback in the first three picks, first five picks, whatever, you need to make sure that you have the coaching staff and the general manager that's going to properly develop this quarterback. And so what I mean by that is a coaching staff that knows what the quarterback's strengths are, that can build an offense around those strengths, and a general manager that is also going to equip that quarterback with the offensive line and the offensive weapons in order to succeed. The Chicago Bears have never had that. That's been the disconnect with, you know, we had, in my mind, we had a guy that at the very worst would have been a low tier one quarterback with the Chicago Bears, and that was Jay Cutler. But we never supplied him with the ample weapons. And
he
so
wasn't drafted, though.
But nevertheless, you gave up all of these draft assets for him, and he was only 3 years into the league. So Angelo and Lovie Smith should have redesigned their whole thinking into providing the weapons that Cutler needed. And so now I'm just worried that we will be doing the same thing. You've got a John Fox, who's a defensive coach. You got Dow Loggins, who is an unproven developer of quarterbacks, despite the fact that he's been a quarterback coach. And so you've got all these things working against drafting a quarterback that high, and you've got all of these great defensive players. And I know Jose has expounded on, you don't know if any of these guys are going to work out, but in my mind, when you make out a list of the guys who are sure things, you don't get to a quarterback until, you know, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 25. I mean, I'm going to pull up Jose's big board here and look at where he's got a quarterback listed. It's not in the top 10.
I have Watson third in my top 50.
Where's Jose's? My computer's acting slow. It's like tired of fucking recording.
Ask him. He's right there.
I have Deshaun Watson 12 and Deshaun Kaiser 15.
So doesn't it make sense to trade back into the first round and pick Deshaun Watson or one of those quarterbacks that's available?
I think if you have a quarterback ranked 12 or 15, well, that firmly puts them at the top of your draft.
It trumps it all.
It does and it doesn't. I understand what you're saying, Shane, but you know, O.J. Howard, who Jose has number 7 on his board, to me is a tier 1 player. Deshaun Watson is at the top of tier 2. That's just the way that I see this draft. Mike Williams, who is number 13 on Jose's board. I see him sort of at the, near the top of tier two. I wouldn't even put him that high at 13. I just think, and I agree with Jose that he's got DeShone Kizer as his second quarterback on the board. That he's my second quarterback on my board behind Mahomes. But I'm not drafting him at number three. I just don't. I just think we need a sure thing. And when that sure thing is defined by about four or five players in this draft.
Here's the thing, and here's the thing that I think. And I think you did make some good points. I mean, there's a lot of logic there, and I'm a logical guy, so I can agree with some of it. But
something's about to pop off.
Look, if you're looking at the top, if you're looking at the top of your draft board, I mean, you said you have Jamal Adams. It seems like our top couple of guys are very close, so
right.
Let's assume that Jamal Adams is up there, and Marshawn Lattimore. Let's say Marshawn Lattimore becomes Darrell Revis, which is, you know, what you hope. He becomes Darrell Revis in his prime, a shutdown, lockdown corner position that you don't have to worry about for quite some time. Now, let's take my third-ranked quarterback, Pat Mahomes, who I have ranked in the 30s. Pat Mahomes obviously has, you know, he could be a complete bust. He has a lot of flaws. But he has a very high ceiling, and I've said that I think that he could develop. I think his ceiling is Ben Roethlisberger because of the tools that he possesses. So if I'm offering you the chance to draft Darrell Revis, if you feel 10 times more confident that you're going to have Darrell Revis, or I'm giving you an opportunity to draft Ben Roethlisberger, which one is going to be more impactful to your franchise?
Yeah, but we don't know. He's Ben Roethlisberger. We don't know any of these quarterbacks is Ben Roethlisberger.
We don't know that, but we also don't know, although I feel a lot more, I feel very confident that Marshawn Lattimore is going to be a very good pro.
That's my point.
We also don't know that he's going to be Darrell Revis.
What about his health? What about his health?
Staying on the Darrell Revis theme, do you guys remember the Super Bowl, the Darrell Revis one for the Jets? And then when he got traded to Tampa Bay, remember that shutdown corner? Remember the Super Bowl that he won in Tampa? But wait, when he went to a team with a quarterback, he actually did win a Super Bowl. Kind of see what I'm talking about here? And I know, yes, it's Tom Brady and it's the New England Patriots, but what is – let me ask you this. You draft Jamal Adams at number three, and he busts. Or you draft Deshaun Watson number three, and he busts. Which one is worse for your franchise?
You tell me. I mean, again,
I almost think it's the safety.
Yeah, I do too. Because then you go back and you say, "What the frig were we taking a safety there?"
See, let me add this to it, because I don't think that you guys are properly factoring Mike Glennon into this the thinking. I do believe that
the Mike Glennon fan club is open for business.
Hey, if Mike Glennon was coming out in this draft, he would be number five of these top four quarterbacks, and he would be in that same tier, in my opinion. And I think that there is hope that he could be that quarterback, that franchise quarterback, not in the mold of a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers, but more.
But Aldo, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, if Brady came to Chicago like back then, he'd have been fucked. But I think it's not the ideal situation in terms of the coaches and bringing a quarterback to Chicago, but it is a better situation because you have a guy who can start, so you don't have to run him out there right away, and you can build around him and get things ready for him so that it's ideal for when he does start. But,
aren't we going to have – say if the Bears didn't draft one, isn't this going to be the same fucking conversation next year if Glennon is Mike Glennon and said, hey, you know what? We drafted Jamal Adams at number three, so we'll draft a – you know, we're going to draft a defensive end this year. Let's build that defense. We'll wait for a quarterback. And then, you know, shit, Lauren's have kids or grandkids by the time we get our quarterback.
And Aldo, you were the one saying that you didn't know how many more years you had left.
That's true, Aldo. I remember that.
That in mind, brother.
We're We're drafting Watson for you, Aldo.
Oh, thanks, guys. I guess the key thing is that you guys all believe that any one of these top four quarterbacks is worthy of being drafted at number three.
No, I don't. Not all four.
Okay, so which ones do you think?
I'm most comfortable with Watson and Kaiser. Mahomes, I love a lot about Mahomes, but to me, I said this before, there's no middle ground on the kid. He's either going to go off like 4th of July fireworks, or he's going to fizzle out of the league and not even be a backup. That's the way that I see Pat Mahomes. Now, Trubisky scares me even more than Mahomes, but at least with Trubisky, I think Jose brought this up last night. I think that worst case scenario, he's a 10-year backup quarterback at his lowest point.
Now, I was talking about Kaiser.
Yep.
You know what's funny about Trubisky is that he has some of his game reminds me a little bit of Matt Barkley, and that's just not what I want to spend the number three pick on.
Phil, so all four quarterbacks are worthy of being picked at number three?
If I'm the GM,
yeah,
I can make.
No, you're the punter.
I don't know if you're talking basically based on is Ryan Pace that.
No, or you me, would you take any of the top four at number three?
Pay attention. If I had,
you guys are talking like you know I'm.
You just forfeited your pick to the Vikings.
I could take Watson. I could take Mahomes at three. I can even take Kaiser at three, or yeah, I could take any of those. But again,
you take Trubisky.
I'm not going to take any.
So it could happen though that Watson goes number one, or Trubisky goes number two, or vice versa, and so then the two quarterbacks left when the Bears pick are Kaiser and Mahomes, right?
I would take Mahomes.
Shane? Listen, I love Kaiser, but I think I'm 100% sold. I can trade down, even if I had to take less value to trade down, and I think I can get him later.
How far down do you think you can trade down where you're still going to get him?
Kaiser?
I'm just curious what you think, as opposed to what I think. What do you think?
I think I could get him in the teens. 13, teens, 14, 15. Yeah.
15 being the lowest you think you could the longest you think you could wait?
No, I think there's a chance that Kaiser could go lower than that. I know on my mock I had him going to Kansas City, I think, at 20. What are they, 27?
Yeah. I think now, I mean, as time has gone on and I look at it more, I think you got to – if you want him,
yeah,
I think you're right about the teens, but I think it's the low teens. I think if you're waiting around to the high teens, he's gone.
Yep.
No, I think what muddies this up a little bit is that a team like the Texans lost some ammunition by trading away that second round pick, because that was a team that could have attempted to jump up to get one of the quarterbacks. But I don't know how they're going to be able to pull that off. I don't know if they have enough ammunition to get it done to come up and get one of them. So that helps, if you're trying to trade down, that eliminates one of the teams that's in competition with you trying to come up and get one of those guys.
So Aldo bounced out with, say, Cleveland down to 12 in that like potential trade that Jose, you were mentioning a little bit. Would you feel comfortable with, I know you're a Mahomes guy, would you draft Mahomes at 12?
Yeah, I probably would. I'd have to see who's still on the board. But yeah, I probably would, because then you're getting that high second round pick, the 33rd pick of the draft, and then you've got the Bears have the 36. So with 33 and 36, I'm going to get two defensive studs. Yeah, so I probably would make that trade.
Would you draft? Was he the only quarterback that you draft there?
No, well I would consider Kaiser, Trubisky. No, if Trubisky falls, I don't even think he's worthy of a first round. I would consider Kaiser. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm leery of Watson because I see a lot of Matt Leinart in Deshaun Watson. So I might.
How? You mean in playing style?
In playing style and velocity with the pass. And, you know, he had a lot of success in college, but that I'm not convinced can be translated to the NFL.
I think Matt Leinart's biggest problem wasn't even anything that had to do with it wasn't physical. It was that he was a prima donna.
He was a fucker.
Alley boy. Yeah.
Listen, that might have been the worst comparison
ever. Deshaun Watson plays for Clemson. He's the black dude that plays for Clemson.
Deshaun Watson ran a 4.6 40. Matt Leinart 5.2. Go ahead. Is an anticipatory thrower. Matt Leinart likes to throw the deep ball.
And he was a lefty, wasn't he?
Did you ever watch Brady when he played at Michigan and his ball velocity and with his arm strength?
Listen, I don't remember.
Since you brought that up, Sam told me Tom Brady in college threw a 43-mile-an-hour.
Terrible. I have
43.
I have a couple old DVDs of Michigan tapes with Brady and Henson there. And his arm strength from then to now is night and day.
Yeah, that HGH is the fucking truth.
No shit.
He went from mediocre. No, I shouldn't say mediocre. I mean very, very average arm to elite level arm talent in the NFL.
Well, mechanics and delivery have a lot to do with your arm.
Oh, yeah.
I could throw a football, guys. Like, I'm not kidding. I could fucking throw, or you'll be like, wow. I've never got the opportunity to throw with Jose. I'm going to do it, though, this year.
I've never seen a midget throw a football.
You never saw Doug Flutie?
No, that's true.
But listen, half of it is torque in that hip. And one things Jordan Palmer was bringing up when I was watching it was really, this motherfucker's insightful because he recognized an improvement in his ball velocity. It will come with more of a hip torquing, you know, and that is easily taught in the weight room as well as out on the football field.
He said he's got to release his back hip when he throws the balls. And Jordan Palmer, he said he noticed that in pregame warmups, the first live game that he went and saw Watson. He said he was watching him in pregame warmups, and he was locking that back hip, and every time he did it, his long ball was off.
A baseball player would pick that up right away. It's the same mechanic when you're throwing a baseball, when you're throwing a football, and when you're hitting a baseball. If you're not releasing, if you're not throwing that back hip into it, you're losing a lot of your power. I mean, a lot of your power is coming from your base and your core, and if you're not including that in your motion and using all arm, I mean, that proves that he has a strong arm if he's not doing that. I haven't noticed it. But if he's not doing that and he still was throwing what did he throw, 49? A 49-mile-an-hour?
Yeah.
At the combine?
Let me break down the frame. Right.
That would tell you that he has a strong arm. If he's not using his lower half efficiently and he's still throwing a 49-mile-an-hour football, that's pretty impressive with just your arm.
I counted, like, and I'm crazy with this, there was about 193 passes that no receiver had to stop, wait on a football thrown by this football player.
How many times did you see that with Cutler?
Mm-hmm. I hated that.
Did you ever notice that?
I see that a lot with Trubisky, and I hate that.
And it happens because of anticipation. Joe Montana is a perfect example of a guy that could throw deep because he anticipates the coverage and he anticipates the ball release point. And if you're able to do that, that gives you a step advantage on a defender, and you get the ball to where it's supposed to be. I mean,
and you don't need the strongest arm if you're able to do that.
Exactly. And this guy, I mean, you talk about brass balls. I mean, he'll get in Brad Big's fat face if he's, you know, that's the kind of got quarterback I want. He said, "You're gonna fucking regret drafting Trubisky over me." I want that guy. I want that football player in Chicago. I want Jim McMahon type of attitude back, where you got extreme confidence, but you're compassionate, and the team first attitude is there, and you love your team. That wins the day. We saw with Cutler. You all know I love Cutler. The time was to turn the page, and you all were right. They got rid of it. Now, what are we going to do? Go on with Mike Glennon only? Why not double down on greatness and make your choice?
You don't know it's greatness. That's the
I do know. He's my number three ranked player in this whole draft. I believe in that.
Do you think that we fall into the trap? You know, you hear these guys, and you, like Bill Polian made the comment today, listen, there's no Andrew Luck in this draft. Well, there hasn't been an Andrew Luck in the draft since Andrew Luck. You know what I mean? They don't come along. But I think we all fall into the trap, and really with all of these quarterbacks, and like I said, I'm not a huge Trubisky fan, but I'm even going to throw him in there. Mm-hmm. And I know I did bring this up before. If they're not ready to start week one, but you look at a guy like Deshaun Watson's 21 years old. Are we saying that this guy's maxed out at his potential? That he's not going to get better? You know what I mean? When he's exactly. He doesn't have to worry about going to class and doing this. He's a smart kid. He graduated in 3 years. So he's taking his academics seriously too. But I think, I don't know.
Did Dak Prescott get better? Did Tom Brady get better? Did Russell Wilson get better? Did Derek Carr get better? Remember what I said yesterday, Shane and Jose? I said, sign me up for a guy that loves football first at that position. This guy loves it, so he's going to be there. First one in, first, last one out. Love the game, study it, get ready to compete. Don't surrender that it's going to be Glennon's job. I'm going to battle your ass to the end because I want it. That'll make Mike Glennon that much better. And know what? That'll make the Chicago Bears better.
So, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Because of the comment that you just made, which is correct. I mean, you said you don't know that he's going to be great. I mean, Phil feels confident that he's going to be great. And I think we all have guys that we feel confident in, and we think our projection is correct. But we don't know. There's never a sure thing. But that's the case with every other draft prospect. So if you go back and look at Pace's draft and you say, okay, they didn't take a gamble on trading up and taking a quarterback there. They took the quote-unquote safer route and took the wide receiver, and that player hasn't contributed, and so you wasted that selection. And that hasn't been the difference in whether or not the Chicago Bears won more games or not. So if the Bears take the gamble and the quarterback doesn't pan out, I mean, it's the same shit. It's still just a first-round pick that didn't pan out. But you got to take the shot at that position because it's so important. I just think you can't compare it to all of the other positions. So if you're willing to take the gamble for a position player or for a defender, why not the quarterback? That's what I don't understand. So my question to you is the reason behind that you want them to make moves that you feel are going to improve the roster for 2017?
No. My belief is that when you have a draft pick that high, you have to take the absolute best player and make sure you don't fail. I'll ask you the question. Why is it that you have 11 players rated before your first quarterback on your big board? You've got Deshaun Watson at number 12, but yet you've got my guy at number 1, Jamal Adams. You've got Lattimore, Garrett, Hooker, Cook, McDowell, Howard, Solomon Thomas, Derek Barnett, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon. You've got all those guys before the quarterback that you want the Bears to select with the third pick. That, to me, doesn't equate.
Because that position is more important. I feel more confident that those players ahead of Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer, are going to be elite all-pro players, more confident than the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But if the quarterback does become an elite all-pro, he's gonna make more of an impact than if Jamal Adams becomes Troy Polamalu. I mean, it's just the nature of the game. The quarterback handles the ball on every play. So if I'm the Steelers and I lose Troy Polamalu for the season, I still have Ben Roethlisberger. I still got a shot. If the Bears had that position locked up, then, I mean, it's obvious. You go for the best player available, but the quarterback trumps all. And I'm not completely sold that Mike Glennon is the answer and he's enough to keep me from addressing that position. I mean, look at what Tampa did when they had Mike Glennon. I mean, we know Lovie Smith is an idiot when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. He brought in Josh McCown, but then Tampa went ahead and drafted a quarterback with the first overall pick while he was in-house. Mm-hmm. And they had this player for the duration of his career, and they never gave him that vote of confidence. I mean, he had a small window. He had an opportunity, and, yeah, we hear good things about him. But everything that's going to be written about this player on ChicagoBears.com as he's coming in after the villain Jay Cutler leaves is going to be positive. They're going to try to spin it that way. But let's see what the hell this guy does on the field. I'm not saying he's going to be terrible, but I think you need insurance.
Well, and, you know, one thing I think we have to, like, although you're bringing up Jose's big board, we know that these quarterbacks aren't ready right now. So, like, if you're doing your big board right now, I don't think it's any big surprise that Jamal Adams is farther ahead as a defender than a quarterback like Trubisky or Watson or Kaiser or Mahomes is. You know what I mean? So, you're
for me, it's the bus factor that separates them. Like, I Jamal Adams is number one. I feel like there's a very slim chance, in my opinion, that he's a bust in the NFL, and he's ready to step in day one. I think he's an elite defender. But if the quarterback hits his ceiling, which he's not as close to Jamal Adams to his ceiling as Deshaun Watson isn't as close to his ceiling as Jamal Adams. So, yeah, we can compare the players, and we have to break them down. I mean, we're not going to clump them all together. I'm not going to say, well, Deshaun Watson's better just because he's a quarterback. He's not better today.
Do you think there's a lot of bust potential with Pat Mahomes, Aldo?
A lot of bust potential, I would say.
Or more than Deshaun Watson, say, since we're talking about him.
Yeah, I do. I like Mahomes' potential more than Watson, and I get it. Watson's a winner. Watson's got a great attitude. His coach described him as Michael Jordan in terms of his leadership skills and all that stuff. I get it. There's a lot of love for Deshaun Watson, and he's earned that love. But I still, my eye test tells me that he's not a sure thing. And
David fails. Who was the other guy we took?
Yeah, it was Dan LeFever.
Dan LeFever, Kyle Orton. Trying to think of quarterbacks the Bears have actually tried and drafted.
Craig Krenzel.
So I think you understand what I'm getting at here. I think Jose hit it on the head. Aldo, you got to have a quarterback. The unknown, really, ultimately, is Mike Glennon. No one knows what he is. No one... He's just, where would you rank him in this quarterback class? For me, I have Watson, Mahomes, and Kaiser above Glennon in this quarterback class right now. So that to me is an upgrade. Now I've upgraded. The only thing Glennon has is experience ahead of them. He doesn't have athleticism. He doesn't have the biggest arm. He's not an anticipatory thrower.
He's got a better arm than Deshaun Watson, I'll tell you that.
I don't believe that. Check the scoring metrics. I think he threw a 49-mile-an-hour in his as well.
Yeah, he did.
And he's known for the deep ball. So those numbers, those times of numbers is just ridiculous. But I'm telling you right now, you're up at 3 for a reason, okay? You've complained about the most polarizing figure in all of the NFL for the last 8 years. Not you, per se. I mean, mm-hmm. Bear fandom and the NFL and above itself. It's time for the Bears to get a qualified franchise player. Swing for the friggin' fences and hit your pick. You have this guy the highest on your board as far as that position. Let's face it. It gets up to this level. It's not best player available. That's a bunch of shit. It's best player available at your need. And right now, when I look at this roster, is a safety getting us to 9 wins? Is a corner? Is an offensive lineman? Or is a quarterback going to turn this franchise around? Because that always next year approach, it only works for a channel that needs programming 365, you know, days out of the year, because they know people love the NFL and eats that up. That works. We'll keep them hanging. We'll keep talking about next year. They'll come back. The reality is the time is now to get your franchise quarterback. And if Coach John Fox is in there making the decisions that we want to go defense and defense wins championships, then we are stuck for a ride of losing, guys. That's how I feel about it.
For me, it comes back to the disparity, and when you start breaking out the tiers at the different position. If you're talking about the quarterbacks, if you're going to wait past the first round, I don't think you're going to get one. I mean, There's talk now about Davis Webb being
Peterson,
a second round pick, and I think that Davis Webb could develop into a player that starts games in the NFL. There's... Brad Kaya is another one, but those guys are going to get pushed up so high because Josh Dobbs, right?
There's a lot of talk about Davis Webb being the fifth quarterback drafted in round one.
Yeah, and so I love Jamal Adams, Aldo, and obviously I have him number one. But I think if you compare, am I going to get – and I'll just say Pat Mahomes, because you like Pat Mahomes, and so do we. Let's say I'm either going to get Pat Mahomes, or you're going to give me Nathan Peterman. Or, I mean, look at the disparity there and the difference. Or I'm going to get Jamal Adams, or I'm going to get Obi Melanfawu. I mean, so – Obi's a little closer. He's a lot closer to Jamal Adams than Nathan Peterman is to Pat Mahomes in terms of the talent and the projection and what they could be in the NFL. So you can afford to wait on those other positions. And I obviously think that that there's elite talent at the top of the defensive board. You know, Marshawn Lattimore, Jamal Adams, Solomon Thomas. Those are players that I think are going to be great. But the guys that you can grab in round two or three, because there's so much defensive depth, are going to be comparable players. And
that's it. It's actually really
face it. Our evaluations aren't going to be fucking perfect. I mean, some of the guys that we think are, you know, fourth round quality defensive players are going to end up being all pros. That could happen with the quarterbacks too, but I just feel like it's a much slimmer chance. And history proves that point.
Yeah, so pick a combo. You want to have Deshaun Watson and Obi Melifonwu, or do you want Jamal Adams and Nathan Peterman?
Nathan Peterman is on my do not draft list.
Thank you.
All right, well, then, what about is Davis Webb on your do not draft list?
Yes, he is on my do not draft. I draft him in the fifth round, but not.
Okay, what about Brad Kaya? You like Brad Kaya?
Fourth round.
Fourth round.
Yeah. Yep. And he's going to go sooner than that. He's going to go sooner than that because teams recognize that they don't grow on trees. If they want one, they got to grab one early.
Well, I mean, there was last year, Connor Cook was selected in the fourth round. So some quarterbacks are going to drop. I don't believe that. I agree with what you're saying, but I don't agree totally. Cardell Jones.
You think Hackenberg was worth a second round pick last year?
No, I don't think that Jared Goff was worth the number one overall pick, and I don't want the Bears to make that mistake. Joey Bosa went with the third overall pick. That's a stud. That's somebody that you can build a powerhouse defense, and so that's what I'm looking for. I think the safety position, Eric Berry and the kid from the Seattle Seahawks, we saw what
Thomas.
Exactly. Earl Thomas. We saw the difference in that Seattle Seahawks defense when he was out of the lineup with an injury. That's how important the safety position has become in this NFL. Just like the value of quarterbacks has gone up, I can make the argument that the value of the safety position has gone up too, commensurate. I agree with that. I think that the quarterback is the number one overall position, but to me, Jamal Adams is a surer thing than any of these quarterbacks.
So I see that, but the Chiefs have Eric Berry and Alex Smith, and they don't get very far. So that's why. I mean, if you obviously you want to have Earl Thomas, but having Earl Thomas and Russell Wilson is what gets it done.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Glennon could just be, you know, Alex Smith, and you get to the playoffs, and is that good enough? Is that what we want? Maybe get to the playoffs eventually.
I'd shit my pants if Mike Glennon took us to the playoffs this year.
Right. I'm just saying that's like probably best case scenario.
Hey, let me ask you this, and this is going to make everybody vomit, and you can insert the drop here. What are the chances that Mike Glennon is Ryan Pace's young quarterback?
That's what I've been speculating about, and people on Twitter have called me a fucking moron. but I have been speculating that.
If that's the case, and I know I didn't agree with Phil earlier when he said this, and I don't think Jose did either, if he's your young quarterback and you want to give him every chance to succeed, tell me why you don't draft O.J. Howard number three for Mike Glennon.
I would not at all be upset with that. And my mock
draft, I've argued this point. I've said that's the way he's going.
You have, yes, you have.
That's what I would fucking do. But if they go and draft Jamal Adams, you see what I'm saying? It's the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah, you want to build – if Glenn – just make the case, if Mike Glennon is your guy, give him every fucking weapon at your disposal. Listen.
I gotta jump in.
You shine that Alshon Jeffrey guy.
Right. That's
my point. If he drafts O.J. Howard at three and goes in that immediate presser afterwards that they usually have, mm-hmm. whether it's what, a half hour later.
Right.
He was our guy all the time.
He was our guy. We're building around Mike Glennon, and we just wanted you to know that. We were hiding the fact that this is a guy that changes the complexity of our offense, flips the field for us, brings us a dynamic to our offense that we are missing, and I would be okay with that, because that would be saying you've put your cards on the table and saying you believe in Mike Glennon, and you believe that you're building this franchise to win by getting an offensive game changer. But if you go out there, and it's no offense to Jose, I have Adams number 8 on my big board. That's no slouch. That's no slouch at all. I like Hooker better at number, I think he's number 4. But a safety drafted at 3, to me, is indicative of John Fox making the call, and now all of a sudden you're a 4-win team next year. And what did that do for you? Get you another shot at a quarterback? That's what I'm talking about. Either swing for the friggin' fence and have some balls, Pace, or say that you're building around Mike Glennon, he's our guy, and I'm getting a dynamic playmaker. If that's freaking Christian McCaffrey, I can make a case for him because I believe in that football player that much. OJ Howard Trump. Well, McCaffrey could do so much, Shane, for this offense and this football.
Oh, right, but
Dow Loggins is really creative.
Yeah, that's what I was going to – that was the next words out of my mouth. Like, I listened to Adam Hogue today or yesterday whenever their latest podcast come out and said that he could make a case for the Bears drafting Leonard Fournette. He goes, come on, Leonard Fournette's better than Jordan Howard. I mean, that's it's just pure stupidity.
I want to win the lottery so that I could go visit some of these people, just knock on their door, they answer it, and I'll just start pissing on their leg. Like, just no words, just unzip and just start pissing on him.
But you know what I mean? That's a typical Jerry Angelo type move. You know, you have Thomas Jones, 25 years old.
Oh, my shows God. All this
promise. Cedric Benson.
So we turn around and we draft a slow-plotting running back that's got a horrific attitude that gets pissed off 10 seconds after he's drafted and starts crying, not because he's, you know, overcome with joy, because he said that the draft process wasn't fair to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
oh,
I think 95% of the people that don't want the Bears to take a quarterback, and this isn't a shot at you, this is Bears fans in general, are because it's just like ChicagoBears.com, you know? It's all about 1985, and we need to restore the roar and the monsters of the Midway. We need to bring back the glory days of the Chicago Bears. But that's why we've never had a fucking quarterback. You see what I'm... Where did they
draft... Now they won one chip.
Where did they draft Jim McMahon? Where was he drafted overall?
I think he was late first round.
Yeah, no, I was like...
No, he was in the top five.
No, he wasn't.
Let's look it up.
He was drafted in round one, pick five.
Pick five?
Really?
Yeah, 1982, oh. Yeah.
Phil was finally right. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a good memory.
Good job, Phil.
I wasn't even born yet. This dude was drafted.
But this,
he was such a badass for that time. You know?
To Aldo's point, though, if we would have waited that next year, Dan Marino, we passed on him two times
in
1983.
Yeah. They could have drafted Marcus Allen instead of Jim McMahon. Mike Montek.
Walter Payton. What are they taking Marcus Allen for?
Walter was 28 at the time.
And he led the league in rushing three more times.
Yeah, you're right.
I would kill myself if they drafted Leonard Fournette at three, man.
Oh, my God. I'll be pissed, too.
That's Raul's guy.
So, Phil, you're the general manager. Watson and Trubisky have gone 1 and 2. Who are you picking number three?
Well, my board and gut says Solomon Thomas because that's my number two ranked player in this whole draft. Maybe my favorite player in this whole draft. But I look at this franchise, and I can't go against swinging for the fences and trying to catch lightning in a bottle. And I wouldn't worry about the national narrative. We know that narrative, folks. Speaking to you, listeners, you know the stories about Cutler and the can't win and everything. You know how they skip over the Bears draft pick? If they could, they'd go to a commercial when it's on. So it's time to change the whole franchise and take a dynamic quarterback. And I would take who I believe has the highest ceiling in this whole draft at that position, and that's Patrick Mahomes.
Nathan Peterman.
I would take Bueller. Bueller.
Bueller.
Bueller.
All right.
Peter. All Patrick right. Mahomes, I would take him because I would have the balls to try to change the whole culture of where the Bears are, get a young passer in here, and worry about defensive playmakers, offensive playmakers, and the skill positions in the next round. You're still picking high at 36. This is a deep draft. It's receiver, corner, safety, tight end, all the things you need, it's still available. So swing for the fences, as my buddies and the guys I love said. If you compare the lower half of the quarterbacks, start running on empty there. So that's what I would do, Aldo.
All right, brother, get out of here, and thanks for your input. And then I'll finish up with Shane and Jose here. I got to ask them the same question.
Shane. All right, guys.
Take care, brother.
God bless you.
Shane, you've heard who's off the board, Watson and Trubisky. So who are you picking with the third overall pick?
I'm drafting Myles Garrett.
Thank you.
It's not – I mean, if those – I like I said, everybody knows that I love Kizer, but to me, I would take phone calls absolutely from teams. You know, if they want to, if Tennessee wants to give me 5 and 18 and something next year, yeah. But I'll entertain that. But at number three, if I can get potentially the best player in the draft with potentially the highest ceiling, and not to say that this kid doesn't have warts, because I do think that there is something to, I guess, I think, you know, Warren Sapp is a dumbass, and I don't want to base things off what he says, but I think there is legitimate concern about a guy like Myles Garrett. You know, I do, it does scare me. Just listening to the kid talk, is it all about football with him? And, you know, you see a guy like the Chicago Bears lived through it with Michael Haynes. Very smart guy. He doesn't have the athletic upside, nowhere near it, that Myles Garrett did. But he loved poetry, and he loved going to the zoo, and he loved animals. Did he love football enough? That's, you know, I don't have access to that. I've never been able to sit down with the kid. But if those two were off the board, I'm gonna sit back and I'm gonna pair Myles Garrett with my young pass rusher from last year, Leonard Floyd, and I'm gonna try my damnedest to move up from 36 to get my quarterback and make my first round a home run this year.
I agree with you.
You can love multiple things, multiple women at the same time, bro.
That's right.
Hey, consider that.
So as all of your ex-wives will attest.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean you don't love them. You can love all of them.
No, dude, I went out of the country for my woman. What are you talking about?
All right, Jose, no. Got to ask you the same question. Trubisky and Watson are off the board. You're picking number three. You are Ryan Pace. Let me hear who you're going to pick.
So, I mean, it's easy for me, but I can't trade down because the first thing I'm doing is listening to phone calls, because I think some team's going to want to come up to get Myles Garrett.
Let's say no one makes you an offer that you find acceptable. The clock is ticking. Okay. You're on the board.
I'm taking Jamal Adams.
Over Garrett?
I'm going to take the top player on my board. And I'm going to say something that might make me... I've said a lot of shit that makes me sound like a fucking idiot, so what's another one? Yeah, you know, 2-3 years.
Let me get a pen, Jose. I want to write this down. Go ahead.
2-3 years from now.
I'm recording, don't worry.
Yeah, 2-3 years from now, everybody, you know, might be saying, well, this guy's a fucking moron. I have Myles Garrett ranked number three on my board, and that's based on his talent, but occasionally you watch a guy, and I'm not saying this because of what Warren Sapp said, but occasionally there's a prospect that you watch and you there's just something that's unspoken, and there's like a gut feeling where you're just like, I'm not sure about this. I don't think I could pull the trigger on that selection. And when I watched Myles Garrett, and this is based off of feelings from this year, when I watched Myles Garrett last season against Laramie Tunsil, I said, who the hell is this kid? This kid is legit. He has physical tools. This was one of the only guys that I saw give Laramie Tunsil any trouble. So there's no denying his athleticism and his gifts, but there's just, I don't know what it is. It's like a gut feeling that I'm not 100% sure that he's going to be all that he's projected to be, and that he's going to live up to his potential. I don't think he is. Go ahead.
Do you think, Jose, that, you know, I believe is Garrett, I think he's 20 years old, isn't he?
Yeah, he's young, and obviously. Yeah.
But do you think
he has everything you want, except he doesn't. He's not polished. It's not like he really knows what he's doing yet.
Right. Yeah.
But isn't that kind of scary if he's not polished and he's that good? He did play with an ankle.
Yeah, it means he could be. I mean, one of the best. No denying that. But it's a gut feeling. I wouldn't stake my job. I wouldn't run up there to go take him. I'd be taking the phone calls first. I just feel uneasy about it.
But when I think what's easy to overlook with these guys and with them being so young, and I, you know, we're all old and crusty at this point and have no athletic talent anymore. But, you know, you know, I know nobody wants to hear this, but, you know, when you got a guy like Myles Garrett who is really, you know, the hype train didn't just start this offseason. Like you said, Jose, everybody could see last year the talent that this kid had. And he had an ankle injury, you know, playing through that. But think about it from their perspective. You know, you're talking about life-altering, you know, generational-type money. And I know it shouldn't be part of the process, and I know you got to add all that in, but I think it's all part of the puzzle, don't you? Like, I just want to get through this. I want to get through the season at Texas A&M. I'm already nicked up. My ankle hurts.
I would go full Malik McDowell.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Like, fuck y'all. Like, we're winning a handful of games. We ain't going to a bowl. Fuck you.
Watch Malik McDowell. Watch him versus Notre Dame. And
I know.
He flipped the switch. He flipped the switch.
That's why he's
after
in my
that.
Top 10.
Yeah. He's like Rashid. You remember Rashid Hageman? Plays for the Atlanta Falcons. He was the same type of guy. When his switch was on, you could not block the guy. But when he
not exactly turning it on all the time in the NFL either. He doesn't really seem to have the ears. So
there's the million-dollar question. Yeah. Can he turn it on and
We'll see, and we'll see if he becomes a technician, along with being as gifted as he is, he's going to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. It's just a gut feeling that I wouldn't make that pick.
Yeah, see, if I'm willing to roll with a quarterback at three and swing for the fence, I'm going to try to swing for the fence with the.
I feel like I can justify missing on the quarterback if I. Yeah. If I go against my instincts and make that selection and then he busts, I would hate myself. Mm-hmm. If he's great, I'm still going to hate myself, but I got to trust myself.
Does defensive line versus secondary play into this at all for you and where you're drafting? I mean,
carries pass rush. So when we were having that conversation, you know, yesterday about what positions are more important, I mean, I put a bigger premium on pass rush.
Yeah.
So it does play into it. I mean, you want to have elite pass rushers and you want to have a stout – you want to have an elite front seven, and I think you can get away with having a couple of guys in the secondary that are just role players. But I think you do still need to have at least one elite player in your secondary.
Yeah.
I think you want to have at least one.
Doesn't this bring us – not to get off topic, Aldo, and I know we're probably running really long here, but – I think we got to talk about Solomon Thomas for Thursday night, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, doesn't he fit? To me, listen, take the quarterbacks off the table for a second. To me, the four guys that are going to fit Ryan Pace's athletic profile, I'm going to take Myles Garrett out of the equation too. I think you're talking about Malik Hooker. I think you're talking about Marshawn Lattimore. I think you're talking about Solomon Thomas. And I think you're talking about O.J. Howard, to me, that fit Ryan Pace's athletic profile. Would you agree with that or disagree? Or what do you
think? Did you say Myles Garrett and the quarterbacks were off the board?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I could see Malik Hooker.
I'm just talking athletic profile, which – he has proven over the last 2 years.
Yeah, and he's proven that he values that. He wants even the players that he drafted in the later rounds, like Jeremy Langford, were among the most athletic at their position in terms of their testing numbers.
And this is what brings us back around to like a guy with Jonathan Allen. You look at his athletic numbers, which Pace obviously covets, and they're not. Go to his mock draftable. Do you ever look at that?
Yeah, they're not. But I don't. They're not all that impressive. I think you have a player who's a similar build and was a much more explosive player in terms of testing already on the roster than Jonathan Bullard.
Right, but I'm saying that's a Pace draft pick. That's what he's.
Right. Yeah. So it proves your point.
Yeah, he's looking at these explosive traits. And
it just scares me that he's disregarded injury history with some of them. And
yeah,
I mean, I'd be happy with drafting Marshawn Lattimore, but obviously that comes with questions. Hooker's another one. I mean, but
and I'm agreeing here with Phil, and I'm actually coming around on this a little bit too. Is if you're talking about Mike Glennon as Ryan Pace's answer. Who in that athletic profile is helping Mike? Who is helping your offense the most?
I'm not taking OJ Howard at
three. No, I know, but I'm just saying, does he fit? He fits that athletic profile.
Yeah, I agree with that. With what you're saying. I don't think that Jamal Adams doesn't. I think that obviously the combine 40-yard dash is being overblown, but then he goes to the pro day. And one of the things that I heard recently with a prospect that was being interviewed, he was saying that it's such a high tension and exhausting process. By the time you run your 40, I mean, he was saying it's no wonder that players run a faster 40 at their pro day because they're just it's much more relaxed and there's a faster track there. That's not always the case.
But I think that's all part of the equation, and I don't think it's any.
It's part of the job interview, but when they're sitting there and they're saying that this guy has awesome tape, and now, he ran in the 4.5s. You can't take him in the top five. And then 2 weeks or a month later, whatever it was, he runs in the 4.4s, and now he's once again a top five pick. So I don't think that Jamal Adams would be a guy that's not in Pace's athletic profile. I think he'd be a guy that would be in consideration because he's versatile. Right.
I mean, I think you could probably put him in there, but would you agree fitting that athletic profile that those four would be above him?
I would.
For Ryan Pace?
I think he probably would value Malik Hooker more just based on what he's done in previous drafts.
You said yes, Aldo, or no?
No, my four would be Adams, Garrett, Thomas, and Howard. Those are the four players that I would grab first before grabbing a quarterback. And just to kind of answer my own question as to who I would pick at number three, I would sit down as the general manager of the team. I would take the advice of all my trusted advisors, the guys that I brought into the organization who have told me, the quarterback coach who has told me, this is a quarterback that you should take at this pick or that pick or whatever. My scout who handled the West Coast and tells me that Solomon Thomas is a can't miss. I would take all that input, put it all up in my big board, and then I would treat that board like it's gospel. And so if I – and the way I would treat that big board is I would list the players not by athletic ability, number one, but by value. I would put if Deshaun Watson is my number one quarterback and also that position equates to the most value of what we need as a football team, then – Deshaun Watson would be at the top of my board, and because that way when the draft comes, you're just basically going down the board as opposed to, you know, bypassing the first 11 guys and then saying, okay, I'm going to pick Deshaun Watson, who's 12th on my board. Yeah. I'm going to pick him at number three.
Yeah, but I think that is what's happening though, Aldo. They're going to stack it the way that you're saying. They're going to stack it according to need and value. They're not going to stack it just – it's not going to be the way that we stack it. We had that discussion when we did my top 10 podcast. I think the teams, this whole BPA thing, if this team is taking quote unquote best player available because he's at the top of their board, need is definitely playing a factor in that.
Absolutely.
I mean, and if there's four players stacked with similar grades, the need is probably going to be the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Shane.
Under your four and on your, you know, how you're basing them, aren't you essentially saying that you're drafting Solomon Thomas number three?
If Adams is off the, board.
But yeah. I mean, if you're talking, you said position of need and value.
Right.
Aren't you putting what Solomon Thomas, his value and what he brings to the team over Jamal Adams in terms of value?
No, because I think very similar to what's happened to the quarterback position in Chicago has happened to the safety position. And again, I don't want to repeat myself, but I think there's so much more value in the safety position than there has been. Now, yes, I still agree with the old adage that you win at the line of scrimmage, but I think that we have sufficient strength there for me to finally address that safety position with a player that I rank as close to a can't-miss player in this draft. In fact, he's number one on my board because of that, because in my mind, he is the best can't-miss candidate in this draft. So that's why I'm going with Adams.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Although with what you said in terms of having strength up front, I don't think that the front seven of this defense is a huge question mark. I mean, there are some holes there. You need to fill some depth, but there's some pass rushers in this draft that can be had a bit later. Exactly. So I don't disagree with that.
Well, I'm sorry for interrupting, but working against my argument is what Ryan Pace said at that press conference that Shane referenced in yesterday's podcast, when Pace said that he's looking at a quarterback that's elevated the a program. He also said in that press conference is, we are going to look at where the depth is in this draft, our needs. And so he probably won't pick a safety because there's so much safety help available in round two and three. He probably won't pick an edge rusher because there's edge rushers available in round two, three, and four. He probably will pick a quarterback because, in round two, you're not going to get a quarterback. So, I think that it goes against what I want, but you guys are probably correct that we will see a quarterback chosen with that third pick.
Can you find a guy with the versatility of Solomon Thomas later, do you think, Jose?
With the versatility? I don't think I need the versatility.
No, but I'm saying, if just look at this from Ryan Pace's point of view, for his athletic profile, which we've been talking about, and like I said, the versatility. Do you think you can find one
in the second or third round? Are you overvaluing the versatility? Because I don't feel like I need the versatility. I understand the scheme they run, and I don't think I need this player that I need to move around because he's sort of a tweener and he hasn't. I just like him a lot better in a four-man front.
No, I do. I think he's a perfect
so
three.
I don't. If you're drafting him to be an edge rusher, I think you can get an edge rusher that will be as productive as Solomon Thomas would be in your scheme in the second or third round.
No, I agree there, and I think you and I may have talked. I think it was you, Jose. We talked about this. San Francisco passing on him, and I mean, I think there's legitimate talk out there that if they can't trade down, that Fournette is going to be the surprise pick at number two. But boy,
I think that's
boy.
Bullshit.
Yeah,
you talk about putting Solomon Thomas on that line in San Francisco and playing him inside at three technique. Mm-hmm. I think that's I think he can make his hay as a three technique. Do you agree there?
Yeah, no, that's where I think his ideal fit is. I think he has that ability that he could become the next Aaron Donald. You know, he's got that quickness. He has the athleticism. And Aaron Donald was undersized as well and was, kind of considered a tweener, but obviously shorter than Thomas. And so he really wasn't considered an option at outside linebacker. But if you took Aaron Donald and brought him to Chicago, you'd have a hard time. I mean, you have to move around quite a bit.
I know that
everybody makes the argument that you're in subs very often. And yes, I understand that. And I make that argument at times when, like yesterday, for example, when we're talking about drafting a nose tackle in the fourth round. But you are in base at times, and it's not like where are you going to hide him? Where are you going to put him? Where you're utilizing this player's strengths?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just at three, I really think highly of the player. I just don't think he's the greatest fit in Chicago. I think he fits anywhere because he's a great player. So I think that it's not like he would come here and suck. But I think you could get more bang for your buck, and that's why I wouldn't go in that direction. I know when Aldo asked me about, you know, who's a better fit in Chicago, who's a better fit, Jonathan Allen or Solomon Thomas, I think you could find a way to play them either or in Chicago. Not that they couldn't, but ideally, if I feel like I'm going to get the most out of Solomon Thomas, it's going to be as a three technique. It's not going to be lining him up at outside linebacker. I think his ceiling at outside linebacker is what you get out of Pernell McPhee, who's, you know, he's considered a good pass rusher, but what's Pernell McPhee get you his best year? You know, 10, 12 sacks. If you get yourself a true outside edge rusher that's more of a speed rusher, then you have that, you know, 15 to 18 sack potential like what you took last year in Leonard Floyd. And I think that's more valuable. I think you can – Pernell McPhee was, what, a fifth-round pick?
Yep, I believe so. Yeah. And he's power, always – he's always had knee issues.
Always, yeah, I mean, but getting a power player who can set the edge and can get you, you know, 8 to 10 sacks is something that can be had later in the draft if that's where you're going to play him. But as a three technique, now Solomon Thomas, he could be a 15-sack guy. He could be Aaron Donald, 12 to 15 sacks from the interior. I don't think it's the best utilization of the third pick if that's the route you go. I mean, if they do it, I'm not going to cry about it because I do think that he's a good player. I don't think it'll be a completely wasted pick, but I think you probably will get a better player if you go in a different direction. Better player for your scheme, I should say.
Hey, can I ask both of you guys a question?
Go for it.
All right, Aldo, I'll start with you. Thursday night rolls around. The Bears are on the clock. Give me your gut feeling. This can include trade downs. You tell me what you think is going to happen.
Well, I think that Pace is desperately going to try to trade down and even be tempted to take a deal that is not totally equitable to the Bears, because I do believe that in this particular draft, he values more picks than in the previous two drafts. So he's going to try to trade down. In the event that he doesn't, because I think everybody's going to play hardball, and I do think that there is a very good chance that Myles Garrett does drop to number three, because this Mitchell Trubisky talk going to the Browns, I think there's some that's serious talk. I don't think they want to wait to their 12th pick. If anything, they might try to trade back up from that 12 to the Bears third or second to get their quarterback. But I do see a scenario where Trubisky and Watson could be going 1 and 2, and then all of a sudden the Bears have that choice between Myles Garrett and trading that pick, or picking him up, or picking somebody else up, maybe even, you know, picking that third straight quarterback, something we haven't seen in the NFL draft, I think ever. So that's kind of the scenario that I'm seeing. And just as a fan, there's only a few scenarios that I can see where I would be pissed off. Because even if the Bears pick, you know, DeShone Kizer or Mitchell Trubisky at number three, I still will hold out hope that it'll work out, as long as those quarterbacks aren't rushed into action.
So do you think he's trading down for a quarterback?
I think so. I think, you know, it's not just for a quarterback, but it's for multiple second rounders. Because again, you know, this draft in the second round looks as good, in my opinion, as last year's bottom half of round one. You know, you look at the Vikings who drafted Laquon Treadwell, I think number 23, 24. I don't think Treadwell is drafted in the first two rounds of this year's draft. Players like that. So this draft has a lot of excellent possibilities to fill a lot of holes, build depth, and start getting that and strengthen that foundation that Ryan Pace started to build truly last year, which was, you know, I almost give him a pass in that first year draft because he was on the job for 2 or 3 months. He didn't have his full scouting department and so forth. Last year was his real first draft, and he hit a home run. I think he can hit a home run again this year. He certainly has the assets to hit a home run. So we'll see.
My gut says tacos. I think they trade down. So my, you gonna play that cut? Close your eyes and open your mouth, Shane. I think they trade down, man. I think Cleveland trades back up to the third. I'm spoiling my mock draft right now, but fuck it. Miles Garrett goes off the board first. Deshaun Watson goes to San Francisco. I think he fits Shanahan's offense. Playing in warm weather, I think it's an ideal landing spot for him. And Cleveland at that point sees that Trubisky still on the board. And like Aldo, I think that the Trubisky to Cleveland rumors do have legs.
Did you hear Mike Silver's report today?
No.
On that? I actually tweeted out the video of it, and Silver responded to it. He's locked in. I mean, he was in, they put him in the Rams war room last year, and now he's in Cleveland. He said that Cleveland, the interest in Trubisky is absolutely real, but it's more real in them trading up for him.
Okay.
And he know they've been in contact with three teams in the top eight, and one of those teams in the top eight that they've been in contact with is this goes to exactly what you brought up, Aldo. One of the teams in the top eight is very interested in trading down and is willing to do it for less value because that's how much they want to trade down.
Yeah. So I think that. Go ahead.
Go ahead and say.
My bad. No, I was just going to say, I think at 12, excuse me. I think at 12, the pick is if Marshawn Lattimore slips down to 12, I think he's in consideration. And then the other three players that I think are obviously in consideration there are Mahomes, Kaiser, and O.J. Howard. I would say those are the four players that would be in consideration at 12. I think there is a chance. I obviously think very highly of Lattimore, but I think there is a chance that he could be there at 12.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
There's a lot of talk up here in New York, too, that Buffalo is going quarterback, and they're at number 10.
Man, all four quarterbacks could be gone by the time 11 rolls around, 11 or 12.
Player are they not sold on, what was the kid's?
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor.
Ohio State kid they drafted.
Oh, Cardale Jones. They took him in like the fifth round last year.
Yep. Yeah, Cardale Jones. I remember last year everybody was trying to make that dude a thing. Was that last year?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he was a rookie last year. But no, there's a lot of talk, and the connection that they were making was that they prefer Trubisky, but if he was gone and Watson was available, they would draft Watson.
They got to take Mahomes. They need a strong-armed quarterback up there with the wind.
Oh, that stadium is such a shithole. Oh, my God.
Worst fans in the world, too.
It's crazy.
Did you ever see that movie Buffalo 66 where this guy's family continually plays a VHS video of that first Bills Super Bowl game with a field goal is missed? And they
Norwood.
Yeah, exactly. And they this family is like demented and they are watching the game like it's on real time. And so they're living through that disappointment every Sunday.
No. Jesus Christ.
What the hell?
All right, fellas, no. I think it's time for us to close it. We are well into hour number three of our multi-part.
See, you were right. You were right. 3 hours.
And I hope that all our listeners have been as entertained and interested as I was, because I found the talk fascinating. You guys have brought a lot of good points. The one really fantastic thing for me is that I'm going to be editing this, so all of the times you guys made me feel stupid, I'm just going to edit those parts out. And so I will win every argument. I'll actually have Phil saying, "You're right, Aldo," when I say we're right.
Just if you want to cut it down, just edit out Phil and get it down to what, a good 40 minutes?
Exactly. All three parts, 40 minutes. All right, so here's what we're doing on draft day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We will be posting new material, video reviews of each of the Bears draft picks. I'm going to be editing through tonight, and our team is going to be providing me with their thoughts about who was drafted. And I'm going to paste those to video highlights of the picks so that you guys can enjoy those on over the weekend. So we'll have lots of material up for you on bearsbarroom.com. Shane, Jose, Lauren, wherever you are, Phil, wherever you're doing, thank you all for being on the show. And remember, if you drink, don't drive, and always bear down.
It's raining tacos from out of the sky. Tacos, no need to ask why. Just open your mouth.
Hey, fuck you, man!